Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Travis
McClunky
and Brian Malkowitz.
C-Team.
Thank you so much for joining us. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about, you know, the new Hunt content. We're going to be talking about problems that a lot of people have been encountering, some of the quick fixes that they've been making. And PvP versus PvE is definitely going to be a talking point. So, Travis, you're on our review for IGN. What have you been liking, and what's just your take right now? We're about 2 weeks out from launch. How are you feeling about the game?
I'm feeling okay. Obviously, there's been some stumbling blocks with all of the glitches and imbalances and stuff, and maybe they needed more time to QA. But yeah, they've had to sort of move quickly in this past week. But yeah, on the whole, my main thought is, just like with Shadowkeep, it's sort of a small amount of content, and it seems like they're going to be relying very heavily on Season Pass content for the next year. I know there was talk of like whether the Shadowkeep year was their equivalent of Rise of Iron, you know, where it was going to be kind of a lighter year while they built something huge. And now it seems like maybe this is the year that they do that. So, it is solid content, and I talk about that in my review in progress, that like what is there is really good. It's just that once you're done with the main story, once you've done some of the end game stuff, the only thing left to do is do it on all three characters and then keep grinding for power. And we'll see how the raid changes that, obviously. I thought the Season of the Hunt stuff that they did this week was really cool. Probably some of my favorite season pass content. Of course, that's not going to be a part of my review of Beyond Light because it is a separate piece of content. But it's still very. I think that is a reason to log back on for sure after all of the Beyond Light content burns off.
Brian, you were busy last week. I'd love to hear just your sort of overall thoughts about this expansion and how you're doing with the game. I think we're 10, 12 days past launch. It's been a week, so 7. It's Friday, about 10 days, 11 days.
Well,
I'm bad at math.
Yes,
is the point.
I was busy very much last week, but that did not stop me from punishing myself and losing a lot of sleep in order to make sure that I am raid ready tomorrow. But yeah, I'm like Travis said, I'm okay with the expansion. It's good. My first note is that I'm glad the campaign ending didn't end so abruptly. It felt like the campaign was over when, I don't want to say credits rolled because the credits don't roll on campaigns after expansions. But yeah, it felt like there was a good conclusion to Aramis's story. That's something over Shadowkeep had. We know we've talked about it a bunch where when Shadowkeep ended, we were kind of just like, you know, well, what was that? But on the note of the Wrathborn Hunts, like Travis said, it's fun, but I don't know how long that can be fun for, right? Because at this point, if you've played enough of it, you've done pretty much all the Wrathborn Hunts, and now you're kind of just looping those same like three or four boss hunts that you're doing for loot. So I don't see the longevity in that lasting until February, I think, is when the season ends. So we'll see as it plays out. I'm not sure yet because obviously they still have a bunch to trickle out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I've been really struggling with this expansion personally, and I sort of hinted at it during the show. I mean, I think it first really bothered me when they disabled the Lost Sector and just didn't activate a different one. So
that was bad.
I believe Glad, or somebody told Glad how to like do it really quickly. So how many people is that going to affect, really? If they're able to play at that level and be able to do that, okay, that's fine. But they just disabled it for everybody else. They didn't reactivate another 1050, so I had to wait several days until a different Lost Sector came at 1050 and I was able to get my gauntlets. And now... 1250, sorry, yeah. And then the other ones are 1280. So I will say this about the Lost. That was really frustrating. Separately, the Pinnacle issue came up again. That has happened two expansions now, maybe three. And it's just like, that is one of the main things that hardcore players are going for. They're going to hit the power cap. And the fact that you, like, it seems to me like they have the ability to auto-complete those things. It seems like just something that should be on their checklist. And I don't understand how it's not been identified, because this is like the third time it's happened. This is the third time it's happened, right? This should just be on their checklist of things to test. And that's incredibly frustrating when you're grinding for power and you're just brought to a halt. They're like, oh, not a lot of players are here. Well, okay, you're willing to remove a Lost Sector, something a lot of players aren't at, but you're not concerned about the Pinnacle thing. It just messaging-wise, that just really hit me the wrong way. I really like the 1250 Lost Sectors. I think they're in a really good spot difficulty-wise. The 1280s, why are you putting attrition on? Attrition is just a horrible modifier where, okay, I got hit once. Now I need to chill for a minute? Just have to chill it for a minute. And then let's talk about stasis and PvP. You have a hunter grenade that can literally seek you and freeze you. You're frozen for 4 seconds, and then you break out. There's a breakout animation that is adding on to the time that you cannot react to anything. And that's the main crux of my problems with PvP. To adjust that partially, they've nerfed the Warlock stasis abilities to the point that it's basically unusable in PvE. Now, we've talked a lot about balancing things differently. I have no problem with them balancing PvP separately for PvE. And I'm like, I'm having a miserable time in PvP. That sucks. And we didn't even talk about the sniper rifles, or I haven't even brought up the sniper rifles. There's a piece of code that you can go in and modify one of the text files. It's like mouse smoothing or something about the mouse. You set it from 1 to 0 and it partially corrects the issue, but sniping just feels awful now. I don't know what they did to sniping specifically.
Well, it doesn't feel the zoom. Yeah, they changed, right? It just they kind of just messed with that whole thing. But I get what you're saying, man. Like I was just talking about earlier the problem with Nova Warp, right? It was overpowered in PvP, then they nerfed it, and then it affects how you play it in PvE, which is just like an unacceptable reaction to how things are going, right? It's like the PvE, like we'll lay it on the table. PvE is Destiny, right? PvE, that's what everybody comes for. It's for the PvE. And if you're a PvP main, that's fine. But like most of Destiny and most of what people are here for are playing that PvE content. So when they nerf things that are, you know, reactionary to what's going on in PvP, it largely affects the majority of the game and how the way people are playing it in the relevant content. So it's like they shouldn't be, and I don't know how, you know, we're in what, year 7 of Destiny, and we're still in that loop of like, hey, this is kind of just negatively affecting PvP, and buddy's like, oh, okay. Then they take the scale, you know, the slider bar, and they scale it down, and it just affects it throughout the rest of the game. And it's like that is not how we should be, that's not how it should happen, right? It's like it just feels bad when you know you have these cool abilities, the community, you know, just is largely affected by it. They hate it, and Bungie nerfs it in PvP, but it affects PvE. So you don't want to play it anymore because, you know, it's the subclass is not even 2 weeks old. And it's like, I don't really want to play it that much anymore because of these nerfs. It sucks.
Yeah. I don't think any of the light classes are really even viable in PvP. If you don't have a freeze grenade or don't have some sort of freeze ability, basically I pop my super as Arc Staff and I get frozen and I'm out of my super. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Thundercrash, right? If you go through
just like, there's your super, it's gone.
Thundercrash, you're frozen in midair, and then you're just like...
And it doesn't even cost the super to cancel it. Like,
it's worse than suppression.
The rock, paper, scissors thing has always been, okay, you have a super, well, I can hunt or tether you, or I can boop you to shut you out of it, but it's high risk, high reward, right? Now it's, I'll just throw a grenade.
Yeah.
And you're just out of your super, or you're just done. And it's just a huge bummer. And the Lost Sector thing really bugged me because how many people were doing that? I don't know what you would call it, a glitch or whatever. You could apparently kill one of the champions and then kill the final boss, but you still had to do things to complete it, right? There was about 12 hours left in that Lost Sector. Maybe 100 people were able to play at that level and accomplish that and survive, but they just took it away. Just to take stuff away like that is just a bizarre decision to me because one or 10 streamers are able to do it. I'm just like, okay, so I don't get to do it legitimately now, even in another Lost Sector. It was just such a reactionary decision that
that's the
was
biggest
really
part,
strange
right?
to me.
Is that, and can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was going to say about the Warlock, about the Warlock nerf, I don't even think that was a response to PvP. I think it was a response.
That was the burst, right? The big like infant like burst that just did a high amount of damage. Like, yeah, that's fine, but I mean, like, we're talking about like the melee range and all that stuff, you know, that was
that stuff probably was for PvP. You know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the super specifically. I think got nerfed because people were finding exploits that could get through shield immune phases in raids.
That stuff
was
fine and stuff like that. But I'm talking about like I said, like the nerf of the melee. And the duration of the super, right? They cut they cut it pretty badly. Like that stuff, you know, is outside of the damage exploits that people are finding. Which the damage exploit, yes, that needed to go, right? That would have absolutely broken the raid race for sure. So I mean, that's
I think the duration was part of it too. The duration of the super.
If it was, then fine. That I'm not sure about, but if it was, then that's fine because that glitch needed to go. That's like, you know, objective. So,
but anyway, my point is that exactly what Destin's saying, right? Like they responded to streamers sort of finding exploits and they're patching an entire community of players around that. And I think that the Warlock situation is in the same vein as the stuff that they're doing with the Lost Sectors and the other things that they've sort of like taken out of the game abruptly. I think it's just they're seeing stuff online and they're trying to be super reactive. And if you're not the top 1% of Destiny players like us who are keeping track of this thing, you're just probably confused about what's going on. You're getting all these messages every time you log into Destiny and it's saying like, hey, this thing was taken down, or hey, this is unavailable,
like,
or the strike has been removed.
Like, what the hell is Witherhorde?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just very strange.
Yeah. Moving on. How do you guys feel about the Lost Sectors? I do like the 1250. I feel like 1280 is just a little.
I haven't even tried 1280.
Nuts.
To
the point that it's not fun. I feel like 1250, like you can make a build or whatever. The teleportation thing on the overload enemies is like, geez, they're teleporting like inside of walls and stuff like that. But Lost Sectors, let's talk about Lost Sectors. I really, really like where they're at with 1050s. I feel like that's, or 1250s, that's in a really, really good place. The 1280s, stop taking away shield regeneration. Like, it's just, I hate that modifier. That modifier in any game is just dumb because what it results is from a player is, okay, I got hit once. I either need to make a build around health regeneration, like a Warlock well, or I can't do anything. I just have to sit here and wait for your attrition modifier to allow me to heal. And I think that's a really negative player experience. Now, anyway, that's my thought on Lost Sectors. What about you guys? What do you think?
I think they're good. I don't think that they're a like super compelling endgame activity, to be honest. Because they were leaning on Lost Sectors really heavily, even during the campaign. Some of the endgame quests have you go to Lost Sectors in order to do some of the stuff that's like post campaign, and now they're treating it like it's a replacement for the new Nightfall Ordeal strike, since there's not really any new strikes in the game, right? That's my concern with it, is like how many times am I going to be expected to run these Lost Sectors? Because before, I guess it's reminding me a lot of faction rallies, you know, where they were like, oh, Lost Sectors are popular, let's like lean into those, right? And they've done it with bounties in the past. Hey, people really liked doing bounties, let's just make everything a bounty in Destiny. And to me, it's not solving the main problem, which is that like we probably need more content if this is a game that Bungie wants us to play every single day for a year. And the amount that we got in Beyond Light is pretty minimal.
Well, I agree with that. Let me ask you a follow-up question to your Lost Sector take. How do you feel about the fact that there is a guaranteed exotic drop behind them? I personally like that.
I do too. I think exotic should be behind like compelling end game activities. I don't know if a Lost Sector is the right one, especially since they're saying that I think to get the exotic you have to do it solo, right? Which mm-hmm. that seems kind of weird that they're gating an exotic behind a solo activity. But
I mean, like to defend that, like if you're doing a 1250 with three people, it's a joke.
Oh yeah, it would be easy.
Sure. And I just wanted to, and the thing is, like, if you're doing a 1250, the god exotic isn't guaranteed because it took me five tries to get an exotic for the new warlock necrotic grips.
The ones five, I work with five to eight is the average that I've been seeing online.
I don't know about 1280. 1280 mm-hmm. might be if you're solo, because I haven't it's touched not, 20, you know, 1280. So
1280 is not 1280 is not guaranteed. I believe it says high.
Yeah, but yeah, it took me five tries on a 1250. To get the new warlock arms, which are fun, by the way. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to use them with Thorn. It's really cool. And I feel bad for other classes that aren't able to have that effect. But the thing with the Legend or Master Lost Sectors is like, I don't know what their longevity is, right? Because I did the 1250 until I got the new warlock arms and then I stopped because I got what I wanted. I got what I wanted from there. It's those alarms that. So now, first thing I want to do is go use them, and I had zero incentive or want to go do them because if you're not getting an exotic drop from completing it, you're getting basically the same rewards from doing a normal Lost Sector, right? You get three if you're on Europa, you get three of the hero always in a blue, and you know it's not that I don't want to tell them to make it an exotic drop each time you complete it just because I felt that might be a little bit broken, but you know, going into a solo Lost Sector and repeating that over and over and over again, and just especially when there's like, I think what, one or two pieces of armor in that loot pool. I don't know. This is not something that I think I want to loop over and over again.
I personally really like that there's storytelling in the Lost Sectors. I think they've dramatically mm-hmm. improved them from what they were. We had no reason to run them in the past, except we're going for what, the shotgun catalyst during that particular expansion.
Fourth Horseman.
Yeah, Fourth Horseman. I like this actually. I like the 1250. I like that you have to do it a few times to get the exotic. It's sort of like a fun puzzle figuring out your build and everything. I just feel like the 1280s are just a little too much with some of the modifiers. It's like, if I'm having trouble with it, how the hell is somebody who isn't a no-life Destiny player going to just run through that? And I'm sure I'm going to get called a casual or whatever in the comments, but like 120,000 people are playing this game right now on Steam, right? Or at least they were at launch. You've made this 1280 Lost Sector. When are people going to do that? Are you going to do that in February? Is that like what the original concept would be? How many people are going to how many people actually play that much to get their season pass up to 100, right? And get their artifact power high. What?
I said I'm at 110.
Yeah, did you do the bounty farm?
I did. Sorry, go ahead, continue. Sorry.
But so I'm just like, they're making these decisions based on the 1% of players. What about the 100,000 other players? And that's the insane thing to me. I'm just like, even the 1250s are probably going to be a lot for them. At least they can probably get to the 1250s because blues will get you to 1250, right? But 1280? Who's going to play that?
You got to make the hardcore happy, man. It's like those are the people who are spending the money at the Eververse.
God damn it.
I feel like.
Travis, what are your thoughts? Anything?
I mean, I think you're right. It's like, it's a very bizarre way that they seem to be sort of, they're almost moving like too quickly rather than letting these things sort of like vet themselves out, right? Mm-hmm. And in some ways that's good. I'm sure the raid is probably going to go more smoothly now that some, like for example, the warlock exploit is out of the game. Yeah. But for some of these, especially, yeah, I did. But for some of these, especially like the change to the Lost Sector, it's a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you actually brought up a good talking point. Let's talk about exotics for a little bit. So I've only had a chance to get the arms, but Necrotic Grip is incredibly fun. The Titan arms are really, really fun. And I haven't messed around with the Hunter arms yet, but I do have those too. The Titan Overshield Barricade, or whatever they want to call it, is awesome. It's broken. Really, really awesome. You're a Titan main, Travis. What are your thoughts on these exotics, and how are you feeling about them?
Yeah, I'm really excited that the Titans basically got a replacement for their barrier, because the barrier's kind of useless now that anybody can use ice walls whenever they want. Yeah, exactly.
Like a blanket.
Exactly. It's a barrier that you get to wear. So yeah, I really like that. A warrior. Yeah, I think that that's really cool as a Titan main, and I'm also excited that there's, you know, an exotic that gives us an overshield again, because I know how much the PvP community loves that when Titans get an overshield through an exotic. One-eyed mask. But yeah,
fun
the
fact, that's actually Heir Apparent.
Oh.
If you have Heir Apparent on and you that. and you pop the overshield,
yeah,
the
stacks.
Right. So you get two shields.
Yeah.
I think I just descended to a new plane. Anyway, yeah, that sounds amazing. So I'm definitely going to try that after this.
Go ahead. Sorry.
They also said on Twitter, one of the developers said that like the kind of interplay between Necrotic Grip and Thorn is not accidental, and that they're sort of kind of building out these ways that exotics interact with one another. And you know, now Brian has made me aware of Heir Apparent. And these new Titan gauntlets. So I kind of am really excited.
It's your first time hearing about it.
Let him finish.
Brian.
I'm sorry. I just want to make puns.
People love it when you interrupt Travis.
I have to interrupt for puns.
No, I approve of his interruptions when it's for puns. I'm really excited for to see the full potential of some of these exotics, especially with the way people are pairing them. So I haven't really tried out the other ones too much, because I'm pretty much just playing on my Titan and all that stuff and getting ready for the raid, obviously, because I have to have my review live at some point tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, Brian, Necrotic Grip, tell us about it.
Really, really, really cool. Probably one of the coolest things that Destiny has added in a long time. So for starters, the grips, if you melee somebody, it poisons it and spreads the poison. Like a little burst, like a little green burst that spreads the poison. When they die, they release another burst that will poison more enemies around it. The thing is that poison is the same exact poison as Thorn. So if you kill somebody with Thorn, that poison spreads if you're wearing those gloves. So it's just like, it's just a really cool add clear mechanic that just like kind of just synergizes really well. And it also stacks with stasis too. So like if you're a warlock and you melee, you use your ranged melee, that melee will trigger Necrotic Grips. So they'll be frozen and poisoned at the same time. So it's just a really cool like effect that's just like really seeing like, and I think the poison is supposed to be sort of like a darkness thing, but so it's just really cool seeing these darkness abilities kind of just play together really well. And I'm really hoping to see more of that from Bungie in the future.
It's synergistic, right? It's really
synergistic. It's really cool. What'd you say?
Yeah, what's the over under on the second darkness subclass that they've, you know, they said that there's going to be other ones. What do you think the odds that it's going to be a poison based
poison? That'd be cool.
Yeah,
I wonder what they can do with that.
Yeah,
I think that's probably inevitable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten any of the helmets. Have you guys gotten any of the exotic helmets? Wait, are they only in Lost Sectors? Because I've gotten exotics to drop in the world, and there's no other way to get them apparently except for doing the new
exotics are Lost Sector homes. I don't know about like Cloud Strike, the sniper rifle. I don't know where to get that. I don't know if anybody's gotten it yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen that. But I think the new exotic armor is only from the 1250 and 80s if you're solo.
Yeah. Well, there's also a raid this weekend, and we're not sure what's going to be behind there. But I guess just so everybody knows, I'm going to be streaming the raid over at youtube.com/thedestin channel and twitch.tv/destin. Travis, you found a raid team, right? Anybody
I did,
your,
yeah.
Anybody on your team playing?
Yeah.
Or streaming, sorry.
Streaming. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I maybe so. I'll stream mine. Yeah, I hope they're all playing.
Yeah, yes.
I'm going to be there tomorrow morning.
Right.
Yeah, I found some people through the C Team clan. So yeah, I'm going to be playing on PC because I have to do capture, which is why I can't do it on Xbox. Otherwise, I'd have my normal boys that I'm playing with, but can't do that this time.
I think
because we don't have an update until December 8th.
I think we'll all be capturing. But Brian, what about you? You playing and are you guys streaming? I think one of your team is.
Yeah, our. I believe Global will be playing. He's in my clan. He'll be playing. He's the clan dad, we call him. He'll be streaming his gameplay. Yes.
You can find him by looking for Brian's retweet this week.
I'll be retweeting. I don't know what his channel is, and he's going to hate me because this was his shout out, his moment. But sorry, buddy.
His moment to shine.
So going into the raid, how are you guys feeling? Are you excited about it? I'm excited to go in. I've been like no life grinding Destiny, and I wonder if part of like my complaining whininess at the beginning is just burnout and just being honest with myself. Oh, we didn't even really talk about the hunts. I guess there's not really much to say. Well, actually, let's finish the raid topic and talk about hunts a little bit. So on the raid topic, I'm really excited. I have no idea what to expect. I don't really even know what enemy type we're going to be facing, and
keep it that way because it's all over the internet.
Yeah, I haven't read any of the leaks or anything, so I am excited to see what happens. I have to imagine that it involves, Big Daddy Bray and something going on there because that's the whole campaign basically alludes to that fact. What about you? Travis, how are you feeling about the raid? Are you excited? Like, it's always an exciting time, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think that most of our complaints have been about how there's a very large grind behind Destiny and you're often doing the same activities over and over again, which has kind of been the Destiny story, right? Whenever we're complaining about Destiny, that's what we're complaining about. Mm-hmm. But that said, the content that they do produce that is new is good, right? The campaign was fun. The new strike is cool. The new lost sectors are really well done. I think this new raid is going to be really good. The problem with Destiny is that its content that it gives you is really good, but then they tell you to do it 50 times, and then after the 50th time, you're like, all right, I never want to do this again, and I'm mad, right? So I think this raid is going to be awesome, just as the rest of Beyond Light's content has been largely really good. But yeah, that's never been my problem, right? My problem has been that there's not enough new content. So yeah, I could not be more excited about the raid. I think it's going to be a knockout of the park. I think they've set up the lore behind it really good. With Deepstone Crypt, and yeah, I'm stoked to experience it completely blind and get through it, and then put a score on that review and get it out in the world.
Brian, how are you feeling?
Feeling good. I am above the cap, the 1230 contest cap, so I'm set and ready. I will say I have not been excited for raid armor in a long time. I don't know if you guys have peeked in the collections at all, but that Warlock chest piece. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm excited to talk about Travis's point about like that, you know, not releasing a whole lot of content for, you know, I think you know what they're doing with this content vault is to get rid of some of that fatigue of the content, because what we had was Shadowkeep and Garden of Salvation, where we had to play that raid for a year. And Travis, you're right. I got mad sometimes when I had to play Garden of Salvation because we had to play it for so long. So it's like, I hope that doesn't happen in this case with this new raid, especially since we know that in like one or two seasons we're getting Vault of Glass. So this might be, you know, Bungie's way of just kind of just like letting us have a raid every few months rather than just having us wait an entire year for an expansion for a brand new raid. Even though Vault of Glass won't be new, there'll be some changes. But, you know, so there's that to look forward to, for sure.
I'm excited. I'm also partially excited because I know after Saturday or Sunday when I clear it, I don't have to know Life Destiny anymore. I'll have finished Beyond Light, you know? And I get Will truly... I get truly obsessed with new Destiny content patches and hitting the power cap. And I think that's why the Pinnacle thing bothered me so much. And then the Lost Sector thing, just taking away my ability to collect the exotics. Like, that's my favorite thing to do. And they're just like, yeah, you can't do that now because, you know, 10 people were able to do this thing that you don't know anything about. And that's sort of the mystery as to what they're alluding to. It's like, well, what was the problem, you know, with the Lost Sector? I didn't even know. I am excited about... Go ahead, Brian. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, which is funny because I heard about the glitch, right? And I watched, like, I think maybe 10 seconds of GLaAD's video on how to do it. And I didn't even actually finish watching it. Yeah, I didn't even finish watching how he did the glitch. So I'm just like, ah, whatever, I don't care. So I had zero intentions of actually performing the glitch to do it. Because I was like, ah, I'm kind of close. I'm a little bit over 1250. So, like, I don't need the glitch to get through the Lost Sector. I can just do it, right? It takes 5-6 minutes if you're on level. Yeah. So it's not something I wanted to go out of my way to do. So it was kind of unfortunate that they disabled it, you know, because I had every intention that day to grind for that exotic.
I was having so much fun doing the 1250s and then just to have like one of my favorite things removed. But anyway, the raid. I'm very excited about the raid and I can't wait to roll on Saturday. You can watch me whine and complain at the channels I listed. Twitch.tv/Destin is probably the best one to watch at. What was the final thing? There was one. Oh, the hunts. Crow has been reintroduced. He's been brought back and hunts are here. Basically, what you do is you do some story stuff. By the way, really, really interesting. There's like a few cutscenes and we get quite a lot of character development from Osiris, Sagira, the Crow, the Spider on the Tangled Shore. There's tons of character development from all those people. And I'll throw it to you guys first and just get your impressions. Brian, you seem like you had something you wanted to say, so we'll throw to you first. What did you think about this whole thing?
I thought the introduction of the bringing back of Uldren was cool. And, you know, he's the Crow now. We can't call him Uldren because that's not... the body's a vessel. Uldren's dead. But spoilers, if you haven't gotten into, which you should have by now, Sagira is dead. They killed her off screen, which is kind of a bummer. Like, I feel like they could have saved that for that introductory cutscene where Uldren saves Osiris. I get the stakes would have been less because if that knight killed Osiris at that moment, he would have been dead and wouldn't have been able to come back. But
well, the way that they communicated it, just so people know, if you haven't gone yet, go to the tower and go to Zavala's office. It's sort of in the middle of the screen. I believe you're prompted the first time you're there. But if you already went there and only watched one of the things, there's like 10 dialogue segments there that sort of explore what Osiris has been going through, his relationship with Saint 14, and everything there. There's some really compelling narrative stuff. And storytelling-wise, I just want to give Bungie props because I have liked what they're doing storytelling-wise. But you were talking about Sagira being killed off screen. That would have been really, really interesting to see because she's such a pivotal character. She's like intertwined with Osiris. So
And no, it's fine. It's that, you know, like you're right. That narrative design with Osiris is great. And those, you know, those lore dialogue bits are cool. It's the presentation of them, right? How they're delivering it is what I had a problem with. It's like, because I didn't know that you could go there each, you know, all the time and have all these different... You know, maybe I missed it somewhere that saying that you could go back to Zavala's office to hear these dialogue entries. But yeah, it just feels like they need to put that stuff more front and center because I feel like she was such a pivotal character during Curse of Osiris, and that having her killed off screen kind of sucks. Just because, you know, because this game is kind of just like the NPCs in this game are kind of just bleeding, right? We're losing all these NPCs left and right, and it's kind of like, oh man, we're just losing it all now. And at some point we're just like, why are we having all these huge voice actors just to kill them off within, you know, 6 months?
I think the death of Sagira is to make Osiris, a character we largely haven't really liked until now, vulnerable. And I think making him vulnerable has made him more likable, at least in my eyes. He has a chance to die, like final death, as they call it in Destiny, right? And to me, that makes him much more compelling. And he even comes off more vulnerable, talking about like tell Saint 14, you know, and you've got his back and everything. And I'm just like, oh my God, do I like Osiris now? Yeah. This character, like with the worst DLC in Destiny history and all this stuff. So that was my take on it.
It's less about that, and because I'm not mad that Sekiro's dead, right? I'm like, oh man, she's such a great character. I'm sad she's gone. It's not, and I hate Bungie for it. It's not that. It's that, you know, it's just like, oh, she died, but we didn't get to see it. It's off screen. It's like, hey, she died. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's very anticlimactic, what I'm getting at. It doesn't feel like she did, right? Because there's no emotional process for it. It's just like, we didn't see any of it. And it's just like, suddenly she's just not there. And you're like, all right, well, okay, cool.
Travis, Brian, and I have been talking a whole bunch. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this. I think Destin, what you're describing is like another symptom of them building Destiny for the 1% of hardcore players, right? Because the amount of people that are actually going to get the content and all of the new implications of Saint 14 and Osiris's relationship and Sagira's death and what that means for Osiris and all that. If you're, you know, 98% of the player base, you're probably just learning about Sagira's death when you log on to do Season of the Hunt, and maybe you don't even remember who she is, really, right? It's because Curse of Osiris was so long ago, and I think it was also Destiny 2's like lowest player count at the time, so I don't know if there's a ton of people who even remember that. But yeah, it's really interesting the way that they're storytelling. I think that their storytelling is really good right now. Like the Crow's re-entry and all of the stuff that's going on with him and the spider being creepy and the Sagira stuff. I just wish that they did a better job at presenting the good story that they're telling. Cause I feel like in this game, you really have to look for the story if you want to experience it, or you find out about it because somebody actually did the hard work and posted about it on Twitter. Right. And gave you like the spark notes for what's going on in the story.
One of my favorite things to do. One of my favorite things to do, I do this on my YouTube channel, is at the end of every season, I post all the narrative stuff from each season, just because it's more for me than anybody. Like, they don't do tremendously well view-wise, but I have every season from season one to the previous season, and I'm currently working on Beyond Light, but that's really fun to do. There's like an hour of narrative content in the last season, for example, that a lot of people probably didn't get to experience. And it's really, really compelling stuff. And this season, can we talk about how, like, spiders are like, ha ha, yeah, we're working together again. By the way, I put a bomb in them. Isn't that cool? I'm like, no, that's really, like, screwed up on a moral level. Why am I working with you? Why am I not, like, murdering you? Like, he's evil. That's an evil thing to do. I don't care what Aldrin has done. Like, he's been reincarnated, brought back with his ghost. And yeah, Spider's just like all telling you this terrible stuff he's doing to them, and you're just cool with it. That's really...
So you're also using the darkness. We're using the darkness. We're working with the spider. We don't care that he's got a indentured servant, that he's got wired up to a bomb, you know, whatever.
So character arc-wise, I think I was really hoping the Crow would be on the Cosmodrome and that we would get to see some of that original storytelling that was sort of teased in really, really early Destiny stuff. Maybe we'll get there someday, but right now he's just basically an indentured servant to the spider, and he has a bomb in his brain, basically.
It's in his ghost,
it's in
right?
his ghost, but yeah. Yeah. So like, are they going to make him ghostless also?
I think that as the season pans out, that's going to change, right? There's no way that
I think we're going to kill Spider.
Yeah, if we're not killing Spider, then it's you know, or, you know, maybe we do kill Spider and the Crow / Aldrin becomes the new Tangled Shore vendor.
That would be a cool character arc.
I see the season panning out in that direction. Not so much, I'm not saying that we're going to kill Spider and Aldrin becomes the vendor, but I mean, I think as the season pans out, we see him become less indentured, less Suicide Squad. If you leave, I'm going to blow your head off with a bomb. And like, by the end of it, Aldrin will be free of the spider, or the spider will set him free, or somehow. I don't know.
The old bomb in my brain cliche. Way to go, Bungie. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually really compelling, but it's really made me conflicted with actually being cool with the spider. This is the first, like, morally not even ambiguous. It's evil what he has done. And
is it weird that I
be with
him? Is it weird that I like the spider more now?
Well, as a character, I would understand that. But as a, like, somebody that we should be collaborating with as a guardian, it's just like, no, we wouldn't work with somebody like this, right? Am I crazy? Travis, what do you think?
I don't know. I think the spider is industrious, and I think that he is, I mean, obviously the guardians, the Vanguard, don't want Uldren because of what he did, right? He's, like, hated. So he's making the most of a bad situation. And interestingly enough, Uldren seems very okay with it. I'm sure Uldren knows about what's in his ghost and all that stuff.
He does not seem okay with it, Travis. Not at all.
He seems very sad. He seems very sad.
He's sad, but yeah, he's always been emo. When has Uldren ever not been emo?
He's more emo than usual.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you guys are right. I think something's going to change. I would love it if they set the spider up for, like, this, you know, kingpin type guy who's playing three-dimensional chess and rising through the power, and then eventually he could be a future villain, you know, maybe a more threatening guy than he was when we met him on the shore, and he was just sort of like a lazy opportunist. I'm really hoping that something like that happens, but we'll see. I think that's years ahead. I don't think much is going to happen this season story-wise. I'd be really surprised if, like, the spider got killed or Uldren got freed. I think this might just become the status quo.
I could see, like, at the very least, Uldren becoming free of Spider by the end of the season. Not killing Spider. I don't see that happening at all. Yeah.
So that's everything I had off the top of my head, like, on the show notes and just things that we organically came to in conversation. Was there anything else that I missed that you wanted to cover off on, Travis?
No, I mean, I know Brian wasn't here last week, so we didn't even get to hear what he thinks of, like, stasis as a, you know, power or the campaign or anything like that. But
that's why I threw him first in the intro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said my piece with that.
All right.
But I mean, the only thing that we could maybe save it for next week or something. Oh, we're not doing an episode next week because of Thanksgiving. Yeah. The topic of Bungie putting a major focus on four playlists, Crucible, Gambit, Strikes, but not giving us new content in those, right? Like, there's a whole slew of quests, activities, and objectives to do in those playlists to have the season focus more on those four playlists, but not putting new content in it. So, you know, we get one new strike this season, one updated strike from Destiny 1, no new Gambit matches or maps, no new Crucible maps. That sucks.
Yeah, actually, that is something I wanted to talk about. Overall, I think Beyond Light is incredibly light. I think we were introduced to this new area, the Cosmodrome, that is completely wasted. It's wasted.
You might say it's Beyond Light.
No, nice. Did I say new light for new light players? Beyond light for no. Yeah, yeah.
No, you said the content is light. It's beyond.
You said the
light.
Content oh, yeah, yeah. Light is incredibly light.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, like I feel like if you're a casual player, you're through Beyond Light in what, 3-4 hours? So you get 3-4 hours of content there, and Cosmodrome is just, you don't even go there. There's no reason to go to Cosmodrome. You're sent.
You go there during the campaign, and I haven't been back since.
Yeah, you go there for the campaign. You say, hey, there's spider tanks here. All right, bye. Shahan is largely just for new light players, and apparently there's a quest there. I haven't gotten to experience that. Apparently the new light content is quite good this time around, so that's nice to hear. However, I'm really surprised that we lost all these areas. We got Cosmodrome, and Cosmodrome just is not utilized. I have to wonder, like, is something going to happen after the raid that gives me a reason to go to the Cosmodrome? Because as a longtime player, yes, I've explored that area, but I would think there's more to do than just go there once for one mission. Even the hunts don't send you there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the hunts will send you there in future weeks. That's my theory, is that they'll use Cosmodrome as a place to hunt down things.
Brian, what do you think they're going to do?
I think that's a very good prediction that we'll, you know, because, like, they can't expect us to do these two, you know, Dreaming City and Tangled Shore for the entire season, right? That would just get mundane, very mundane. But yeah, like, we'll probably go to the Cosmodrome at some point for these Wrathborn hunts. But I mean, like Bungie's already said in the past, like, Cosmodrome isn't going to be one-to-one with its, you know, with what it was in Destiny 1 until the seasons progress, right? So like we're probably not getting, you know, the Devil's Lair strike until next season, you know, which will add, you know, rocket yards and some other areas that aren't currently in Destiny 2. You know, then there's also the Fallen Saber strike that we don't have, so that Vault presumably Glass. Comes in, you know, Vault right. Well, Vault of Glass is Venus, but
oh, you're right.
But so there's just
they're like, adding Venus back when they drop Vault of Glass, or it'll just
I think we'll access it through Nessus, but I would love that if like a season is like, hey, here's Venus back, which would be cool. But if they did something with it,
because right now Cosmodrome's back and they didn't do anything with it. One mission,
yeah,
right.
They gave you another material that now you have to worry about.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
I mean, having Cosmodrome back in the game, you know, sets us up for Wrath of the Machine being the raid they bring back to us after Vault of Glass for a reprised raid. Assuming, you know, the way Destiny wants to do it is like expansion with a new raid, you know, midway through the year, here's Vault of Glass.
Wrath of the Machine was raid. In Plaguelands, though, right? Or what yeah, was, exactly, what was that what I mean. Version of Cosmodrome called? Yeah.
Yeah, Plaguelands, you're right.
Yeah.
It was Plaguelands. But Plaguelands was still technically, I think it was still technically in the Cosmodrome, right? Because you
it
literally
was,
just.
Yeah, there were two versions
They just cut a hole in a wall and then there's the Plaguelands. You know, so it's like, so it's. And it was all the same architecture, it's just snowy. So I can see that happening. I don't think that'll happen this year. I don't think we're going to get Wrath of the Machine this year at all. That's a little ambitious, I think. Especially once we figure out what they've done to Vault of Glass and how they've changed it, if at all. But yeah.
Travis, any thoughts about Cosmodrome or Venus coming back?
I hope Venus comes back. I haven't thought about that planet since D1 stopped being a thing, to be honest, just because I feel like I spent the least time there of any of the other planets for some reason, except for with the notable exception of Vault of Glass, obviously. But yeah, I think that'd be cool. And I think that I think this is an opportunity for them to not kill themselves, Bungie, kill themselves trying to make all this content that is never going to appease an ever-hungry community, while also giving us stuff to do that is new-ish, right? If they're refurbishing and giving us back old planets with new stuff to do there, I think they have an opportunity to give longer legs to old content by rotating it out. It's just a question of like how they do that, right? Like the way they implemented Cosmodrome so far has just been a big nothing burger. The fact that they've introduced a new planetary material that I have to worry about, and then when they take the Cosmodrome out again and put it back in the vault, am I going to lose my spin metal that I've been, you know, gathering again, and now I'm gonna have to worry about this new Venus material that's coming back? Like the mechanics around like how we interact with these planets is really, it doesn't feel like they've thought it all through yet. And we're going to kind of be along for the ride during that. But yeah.
Side note. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I haven't figured out what we use Glacial Stellwort for, the planetary material for Europa.
Probably infusion. Who knows? Yeah. I want to pressure you guys on something that you both sort of said. You said that you liked the Beyond Light campaign and the Arc of Aramis. I kind of disagree with that. Basically, the Arc of Aramis was she was introduced and then murdered within, like, what, an hour of the main campaign. And then you go on a mission. It's like, psych, she's back. Oh, just kidding. You killed her again. And then that's it. That's the end of the Aramis story. I feel like she was tremendously wasted as a villain that we could have at least pursued into the other stories or been involved with the other stories. And I thought it was really odd. You don't feel that way at all? You're just like, yeah, that was a good story arc?
I thought that the campaign was fun and it told a good story. I don't really think that it was long enough. And I also am very disturbed by the fact that it feels like a side quest and not like the main story of what's happening in Destiny. It feels like something that we're doing alongside. And I also really don't like that they kind of hand wave the whole, oh, we're using the darkness now. Like, darkness has been super pure evil for 6 years, and now, oh, I guess it's fine. Even the ghost is okay with it now after 2 hours.
Elsie Bray is fine with it, too.
Yeah, everybody's just okay with using the darkness. So I definitely have concerns. I don't think it's a perfect campaign, but I think that you know, the process of hunting down all these people and the boss fights that you go in and all that stuff. And in terms of Aramis's ultimate fate, she could not be dead. We actually don't know. She's frozen, and I could see, you know, a post scene of her kind of cracking and breaking out of that ice shell at some point. Like the end of season
event. Yeah,
end of season event or something like that. I could see like they did with Uldren Sov, right? It was the same thing. Uldren was dead, and then at the end of the season, he woke up. So I could see something like that happening. But I share your concerns about some of it. I just think it was fun while you're playing it, and you know, I can complain all day about it not being long enough or it not going anywhere with the larger story in Destiny, but that's been true of every Destiny expansion. And the fact that they kill off their villains in the same season they introduced them, it happens in every expansion. They killed Gaul in year one. They don't have any long-term villain, and the one that has existed, the Darkness, now apparently is our friend. So I definitely have concerns about like Destiny's ongoing story and who the bad guy is or anything like that.
We're gonna have to save it for the next episode. Actually, I just realized we're like past time. So I'm gonna call it this episode real quick though. We're doing this new show, Review Crew, where we, you know, partner up with other outlets and they talk about their reviews. I have a real quick promo I'm gonna throw to here at the end of the show. But for Fireteam Chat, that's it for this episode. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Hey, everybody, Zach Ryan here to talk to you about IGN's new weekly show, The Review Crew. Each week, we're gathering folks from all over the gaming community to talk about the biggest and best games. We'll dive deep into each review.
It's friggin' awesome about that.
All these monks just running away from you in every direction.
It is pandemonium.
Yeah.
Talk about the things that we loved, the stuff that needs improvement, and probably have some spirited debates and laughs along the way.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
We're kicking things off with Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but in the coming weeks, we're talking about Demon's Souls, Xbox Series X, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, PlayStation 5, and Cyberpunk 2077. You can tune in Mondays on IGN.com or listen to the full audio version later in the week on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service. Hell, you can do both. I'm not your boss. Let us know what games you want to hear about, but more importantly, let us know who you'd like to see on the show. Until then, you're already in the right place with IGN.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridans, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.